Just to continue on this, these same thoughts, the people then answer. They take up this exhortation, and they respond very well. And we may view ourselves now as perhaps the people. We want to imitate Joshua in his consistency, but we also may see ourselves as these who are responding with the same fervor. They say in verse 16 to 18, they say, we could not consider any other alternative. What else could we do but serve the Lord? We would not serve other gods. We're not going to forsake the Lord. The end of verse 18 says, we will serve the Lord. And what they say is they say back to Joshua these some of these features that they have heard from Joshua recounting the Lord's faithfulness. Joshua has given them a true and clear account of all the Lord's faithfulness, and it is on that basis that they recognize there's no other choice to be made. And so if we put ourselves in the role of Joshua and want to exhort others to also be faithful to the Lord, we give people a place to hang their hat, as we say, a place, a nail to hold the truth on. And you say, here's something that God has done. Here's the thing that God has done. Here's the thing that God has done. Now, what's the response? And the people say, well, God has done this and this and this. They say back to Joshua in capsule form what he has just told them about the Lord's faithfulness. And they say, well, we could do nothing else but serve the Lord. And when Joshua sort of puts them to the test in a little way, just to give a little overview of what passes, what comes next, in verse 19, he says, the Lord is holy. The Lord is jealous. This is the right use of jealousy. Jealousy that is envious when I want something that is not mine. That's jealousy in the wrong way. Jealousy in the right way is jealousy to receive what is properly mine. A man is properly jealous for his wife. God is properly jealous of his honor. Why would you give my honor to another? You wouldn't even treat your governor that way, he says to the people in the time of Haggai. And so he is jealous. And so Joshua puts them to the test and says, do you really know what you're saying? If you want to follow the Lord, don't play games with God. Don't say, yes, yes, your lips will be saying one thing, but your heart is far from me. The Lord knew that about the people. I wish that their heart was up to the measure of what their lips said. And they say, no, we will serve the Lord. Just a little note when it says in verse 19, he will not forgive your transgressions. It doesn't mean that God is not a God of forgiveness. It means that God wouldn't just overlook their transgressions. God, we don't play games with God and say, yes, yes, I'm the Lord's. And then, as the Lord Jesus said to the people listening, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? There is, to take the position of one following God, there is a commensurate responsibility that goes along with that, to live up to that level, as I mentioned earlier, walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. And so when they are making these responses, they would have had another opportunity. We said some of the things, how they responded to this, and something else they could have done. They weren't only living on Joshua's faith. They were also taking up the faith with accuracy. They could have also looked at all the failures of their fathers, and they said, why should we bother serving the Lord? Our fathers tried to serve the Lord, and they all died in the wilderness. It's too high a standard. We're not going to try to live up to that. Our fathers said they were serving the Lord, and look what happened. There's too much failure around. We're just going to give it up. And this is another aspect that puts our hearts to the test too. If we're in a place where we see a lot of weakness, if we're in families, if we're in regions, if we're in assembly settings, if we're wherever we are, we see failures and weakness, that's not the right response either, to say, well, I'm just forget it. They had the right attraction. They said, look, the Lord is the one who delivered us. Where else would we go but the Lord? So that's another piece of encouragement for us to keep our eyes there. When our eyes are on the Lord, then our response will be correct.
So we see this strong exhortation, and as if Joshua is trying to drive home a point, he doesn't let them just give verbal assent, right? Yes, we'll serve the Lord. Well, yes. because he's trying to get to their heart. There's a problem with them already. It's found in verse 23. They have mixed the Lord with these idols. Some of them have idols in their homes. That's the fact. So while they give verbal assent, oh, we're going to follow the Lord. Who else could we follow? On their fireplace above there, they have all these idols, you know. God is holy. He's jealous. You cannot mix him with all these other things. And you have to be separate from this. Separate from it. So you have to put away these idols. And it's interesting that he first says, you are witnesses yourselves to what you have promised. But it was not enough. He had to put a stone. Notice that. A stone. In wrote it in a book in verse 26. And he put a stone as a witness in verse 27. It's an interesting study, the stones of Joshua. And we started with that this morning in Exodus 17 when Moses went up the mount. It got so wearisome for he had to sit down on a stone. And it's really a stone that reminds us of the Lord. But we find that there are stones in the life of Joshua. So his life begins with a stone and it ends with a stone, and it's all Christ. This stone is a witness. This is going to be a reminder, a visible sign to them. You know, they use these stones to make their idols. Well, now this stone is going to sit there and remind you, you promised you would only follow the Lord. You're going to get rid of all these idols. So it's not enough to say, I'm going to follow the Lord and then still have the idols. I remember hearing a missionary to a Hindu family, and they finally accepted to believe in the Lord, and he was so delighted. And one day they invited him over to their home, and he saw all these idols. And he said, I thought you were following the Lord. Oh, yeah, we're following the Lord, and there's a symbol of him right here. He's the symbol of the cross here. Well, what's all this other? Well, we also have these other gods. You see, you cannot have that. God will not accept that. That's not true decisiveness. And this is really where we're reaching. This is why he's exhorting. He's not allowing them just to say, well, we'll follow the Lord. The reality comes in your practices, in your actions, not just your words. So we can say, oh, I love the Lord. Do you really? Well, it'll be shown by your obedience. So may the Lord help us.